Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. Your future is important. Take time to plan for what can go right. Talk to a financial broker about a Zurich pension.
We're going to return now to the refugee accommodation crisis, which we discussed earlier with the Irish Human Rights Commission and Equality Commission. The Taoiseach told the Dáil today that the state has housed more than 43,000 Ukrainian refugees since the Russian invasion on the 24th of February, and there's growing concern within government about how the unprecedented numbers of refugees are going to be accommodated here. One option being considered is to use army barracks in Westmeath, Kerry, Wicklow and other locations to provide emergency accommodation. To discuss this proposal and more, I'm joined by Fianna Fáil's Senator Lisa Chambers, the party's Foreign Affairs and EU spokesperson, and also by Sinn Féin TD Eoghan Ó'Briain, who's Sinn Féin's housing spokesperson. You're both very welcome to the programme. I might turn to you, Senator Lisa Chambers, first of all, because we knew big numbers. It was flagged very early by the government. Big numbers would arrive in Ireland like every other EU member state. I just wonder what has gone wrong with 40 Ukrainian refugees left without accommodation over the weekend and sleeping after fleeing from war in Dublin Airport, as City West was full. Can you explain to listeners what has gone wrong?
Well, I mean, I would take a slightly different view of it than what you've said. I mean, it is worth acknowledging that at the start of the programme, you mentioned the numbers. We are up on close to 58,000 people seeking international protection, not just Ukrainian refugees, but other members as well, which is unprecedented. Last year, the same time last year, it was 7,500. So that is the scale of what the country is dealing with. For the most part, and I'm of course acknowledging that there were a small number of people that didn't have accommodation at the weekend, my understanding is that they are now accommodated. But over 43,000 Ukrainian refugees have been accommodated by the state. That is a good news story. That is a success story. And we are in a wartime situation. It is a wartime response, and it is an unprecedented challenge and pressure on our system like nothing we've ever experienced.
But each and every person,
I just want to acknowledge that take the politicians out of it.
No, but I know.
Cormac, if I can finish my point. Take the politicians out of it.
The
public servants and civil servants that have worked round the clock to do this work, mm-hmm. I think deserve acknowledgement and credit.
No,
and when you say
it's
a disaster or that it's gone wrong,
when you try and sell this as a success story, try
I'm not
telling
anything, Cormac.
You said it's a success.
It's a success.
Sorry, may I ask you the question? What do you say then to people who fled war and slept in the streets?
As I said, I acknowledge that there were a small number, 40-something, I think, that couldn't get accommodation immediately at the weekend. And we've acknowledged that there's unprecedented pressure. But to say that it's all gone horribly wrong doesn't acknowledge the thousands, literally thousands.
I hope we can re-establish the line with Lisa Chambers. Let me just give it a second and see if that line is re-established. Can you hear me, Lisa Chambers? We'll try and come back to Lisa in just a second, but Eoghan Ó'Briain is with me as well. I'm sure you'll have a different view, but the point Lisa Chambers is making is valid, is it not? The numbers here are unprecedented and the government is doing their best. Would you accept that?
Well, first of all, the numbers are unprecedented and very many people have been doing an enormous amount of work. First of all, citizens, those who have opened up their own homes and are providing support, non-governmental organisations and public servants. And I want to commend all of those. But it's important to remember that we actually have two crises here. The crisis in international protection, that's for those people fleeing war and persecution outside of the European Union, Ukraine. That crisis has actually been building over a number of years. And of the 16,000 people, should I say, in that system, 4,500 of those shouldn't be there. They actually have their legal right to remain. They have refugee status and they're essentially being forced to use direct provision as a form of emergency accommodation. And there is no plan or strategy for government to help those people transition out of direct provision or hotel accommodation, which of course would free up the supply of that accommodation for others. There is also a concern that many of us have. And look, I don't doubt the scale of the challenge and none of us are playing politics here. But at the very start of Russia's unjust war in Ukraine, the Irish Refugee Council made very, very considerable and detailed policy proposals to government as to how to plan over a number of months for what originally people thought might be as many as 100,000 adults and children from Ukraine. Some of those proposals were never taken up. Some of them have been taken up in a half-hearted way. And there is a sense when I talk to many people on the front line at the moment that there's a lack of coordination among government departments from the top, that the Department of Children is doing a lot of the hard work, but other government departments, particularly health, education and housing in particular, are not putting their shoulders to the wheel. Well, and as a consequence, there isn't enough forward planning. Of course, this was going to
be
huge.
So what would you do differently? Okay. What would you do differently if you were in power? Lisa Chambers is back with us now, and we'll get back to her in just a second. But in terms of implementing ideas, would you not be in the same position here, given the numbers?
So three things. The first is I would take up those ideas that the Refugee Council and the Ukraine Civil Society Forum have been proposing for months. The first
like what
is
specifically, yeah,
exactly. So the three proposals are: the first is there's 60,000 vacant holiday homes out there. The proposal is to offer the owners of those properties a 12-month license agreement, give them a modest payment, and try and get those properties into use. If we got 5 or 10% of those, that's 3,000 to 6,000 homes that could home one or two families, and that's our eminent. Sensible idea. Neither the Department of Children nor the Department of Housing have ever taken up. The second one is the modular accommodation. The contract was signed with the supplier at the end of August, early September, but we're now being told that the 500 units that were to be delivered before the winter, many of them won't happen until next year. Far greater urgency in terms of rolling out that modular accommodation. And
well,
the third...
Can I ask you, before you move on to the third, how would you have expedited that?
Well, it is actually hard to understand why it is not happening at the speed we were told. I met Roderick O'Gorman about this at the end of the summer. He outlined the plans, and I have yet to hear why those plans are now delayed.
Okay,
because
so
the sites
you don't know
been,
if you could have done that quicker.
The sites have been identified. The contractor has said they can meet the targets. So I don't actually believe that there's any reason why
You don't know the obstacle either, in fairness. So what is the third recommendation then?
Sure. And the third one is the large vacant properties to be converted into multifamily use. There was an enormous delay from the Department of Housing in getting that information to the Department of Children. There's been a subsequent delay in getting that information acted upon. So in fact, many of the large properties that people have identified in February, March and April of this year that were brought to the attention of the relevant departments haven't actually been refurbished. These are all things that could have and should have been done alongside wraparound supports, both for Ukrainian refugees, such as GP and educational services, and additional community support for the communities who are hosting those refugees.
Let me go back to Lisa Chambers. Let's take those points one by one. The 60,000 holiday homes that were outlined, why haven't they been acted on?
Yes, apologies for my line dropping off.
No, you're okay. Apologies
I came back in. So the ideas there, that so what I take from Sinn Féin, what their ideas are that they are somebody else's ideas and they haven't really worked out how they'd even deliver them. The suggestion that somehow things will be so much better if Sinn Féin were leading the way and that we wouldn't be experiencing the same problems that every single other member state are experiencing is just fanciful. To deal with the holiday homes, we have asked for people to give their holiday homes for use. You know, some have done so, others are not in a position to do so for different reasons. And a government payment in that regard, we're looking at doubling that up to €800. But the reality is that many people want to hold on to their holiday homes and we can't force them to do otherwise.
How many of the 60,000 homes that were outlined do we have in situ for Ukrainian refugees, Lisa?
I don't have a breakdown of how many holiday homes have been currently offered. But I know some have been offered, but it is a small enough number. The idea that you'd achieve, I think Sinn Féin is suggesting 6,000, I think is a stretch and I'm not sure it's actually achievable. Just in terms of modular accommodation, that is underway. Those plans have been made and the suggestion that you could have expedited the situation. Again, I'd like to hear Sinn Féin actually lay out how they would have done that.
I don't know where you come in.
I think
Onor Brin was saying he couldn't understand what the delay was. Can you shed some light on that?
Well, we're in this situation for about 7 months now. We have sites identified, there are plans in place, we know how many units we're going to deliver and work is underway. I'm not sure it could have been done a whole lot quicker. I mean, I think that's pretty quick in terms of delivering actual
physical
units.
But weren't they earmarked for this winter?
And the plans are to get them done for winter, but it is going to be a challenge. We have to get agreement from local communities. We have to get people on site. You have to find appropriate places to put them. And then there are supply chain issues.
So it'll be next year, isn't that right?
Well, possibly next year.
What has dragged on? Is it the public consultation process, Lisa, that has held things back?
it's not just the public consultation process. That is obviously a barrier in some respects, but there is supply chain issues as well, trying to get materials, get people on site to actually build units. That's a challenge. So to deliver these in a quick fashion is a challenge, but it has been done in the quickest possible way.
And could just it have been started sooner? The large vacant properties
that was mentioned as well. Well, possibly yes, but not a whole lot sooner. You know, I think what we've been dealing with in the last number of months, the scale of it is unprecedented, and it's not fair to say that only one department is doing the heavy lifting. This is a cross-government response. The Taoiseach is working on this on a daily basis. All ministers meet and discuss this on a weekly basis. Just there on Monday, there was a cross-departmental meeting as well to discuss this. So it's not just down to one individual or one minister. The entirety of government is working on this every week. And also, of course, huge teams of public servants behind the scenes that are doing, and also at a local authority level. I know my own local authority of Mayo, there's a set team there, a management team within the local authority that look at it on a localised basis.
Can I go back to Eoghan Brian on that? I know you want to move on to the point about larger buildings that have been fingered as well. But in terms of public consultation, Eoghan Brian, I know a colleague of yours in Sinn Féin, in relation to a site in Kildare, Patricia Ryan, said that some of the sites proposed are far from ideal, and she has raised some concerns about the sites in Kildare. I mean, isn't the public consultation made more difficult, given the crisis we have, if TDs are raising objections to sites being put forward?
Well, first of all, let's be very, very clear. Neither Patricia Ryan nor any other Sinn Féin representative has objected to any of the sites that's been proposed by Roderick O'Gorman. What we have said, both publicly and privately, and we make no apologies for it, is as government does this, there has to be adequate supports both for the refugee community and the host community within which they're going to be living. And in fact, if government were to listen to the advice of many of us, they'd be able to do this much more quickly. It's also really crucial to remember that there is no public consultation here. And I'm not arguing, by the way, that we should have the traditional consultation of a planning process because we don't have time. This is an emergency. The government identified and picked a number of sites. The government then met with elected representatives, and I've been at some of those meetings, and told us these sites were proceeding. What we said at those meetings is, fine, if you're proceeding, we would like you to do it X, Y, and Z, all eminently reasonable propositions. And when we're doing those meetings, because the only department at those meetings is the Department of Children, we're not getting answers about the responsibilities of the Departments of Health, Education, or Housing. And in fact, repeatedly, when we go back to the Minister for Children to ask for updates on those things, there are none. And that's why.
Is this what the Taoiseach means when he's accusing Sinn Féin of playing both sides
Absolutely
with regard
not.
To Ukrainian refugees? Surely it would be better from a Sinn Féin point of view to tell the public, quite frankly, that you cannot insulate fully public services from the impact of these numbers coming into the country. Would you be prepared to do that?
And not only will I do it, I'll do it now as I've done before. Let's be very clear. From the very outset, we have said we support and will work with the government to ensure that all of those people fleeing Russia's unjustified war in Ukraine will get shelter, as well as improving the conditions for those in the international protection system fleeing war and persecution elsewhere. But it is absolutely vital that government departments listen to the advice of elected representatives such as myself on the ground to ensure, as we do this, we do it in the best way possible, not only for the refugees who are fleeing appalling circumstances, but the wider community. And again, I'll say this.
Is it an inevitable consequence, Eoghan Brian, of these numbers coming into the country that there may be a temporary diminution in public services for everyone?
So I think the lesson from COVID is when everybody gets behind a project and works on that project, we can do far more than we thought was possible. And it is not unreasonable that, for example, in my own constituency, the Department of Children has put a new temporary facility for 250 adults and children seeking international protection. It's very close to where I live. I met the minister on that. We said to the minister that we will work with him to make that a success. But those people need doctors. Those people need access to schools. And the wider community needs to be reassured that they'll continue to have access to a basic level of service. All we're asking is the government do what the experts in the field, the Ukraine Civil Society Forum and the Irish Refugee Council and others have been advising
for
months. Let's do this right.
Can I get a final word from Lisa Chambers? I know you're an ex-member of the Defence Forces. The barracks being considered today to house hundreds of refugees from Ukraine. I mean, is that suitable? Are they fit for purpose, really?
Well, Cormac, just before I answer that, I just want to make one quick point around the suggestion from Sinn Féin that there hasn't been support in terms of education and health. We have 12,000 Ukrainian children in school, medical cards issued to, I think, almost all of those that have come in, social welfare payments. There's been huge wraparound support. And it will be nice to see Sinn Féin sometimes acknowledge a lot of the good work that's happening. Then in terms of the barracks situation, it makes sense. If I'm honest, you have huge public buildings that are owned by the state that have, you know, the basic facilities, it's accommodation. I've stayed in many of those barracks that are being mentioned myself, so I know what kind of state they're in. Some of them are quite different. The Mullingar barracks, for example, you know, you've got easy access to a town, there's water, storage, accommodation on site, and it's in relatively good condition. Some barracks may need a little bit of work, but it does make sense as a short-term solution to ensure people have accommodation. And barracks is in particular where there are transport links or you've got easy access to a town. I think it makes sense and it's a good idea. And I'm pleased to see the government moving ahead with that.
Senator Lisa Chambers of Fianna Fáil, Eoin Ó Briain, Sinn Féin TD, thank you both very much indeed.